Welcome to All About Art. My name is Alexandra, and I'm an art historian, curator, and writer. Within this podcast, topics relating to art history, cultural policy, the art sector, as well as a large range of other art-related topics will be covered. Conducting critical discussions, having entertaining exchanges, or just enjoying some relaxing chats? All About Art is where you'll find it all. Join me in exploring and developing cultural discourse. Welcome to another episode of All About Art. Recently, someone left a comment on one of my posts on Instagram, and they asked, quote, "Could you share your feelings on the National Gallery calling all content creators to celebrate the bicentenary?" The comment continued with, "Many are calling the criteria unfair, and as a professional in the art industry and as a creator, I'm curious how you feel about it." Thank you, Angelica, for leaving this comment and asking a question that has now sparked the inspiration for this podcast episode. First things first, I should probably explain what it is that the National Gallery is doing and why someone may be asking my opinion on it. It's recently been announced that the National Gallery is to create a network of UK-based digital creative influencers as part of its bicentenary celebration called NG200. Applications have been opened for digital creators to make digital content, which responds to the museum's collection, exhibitions, building, and day-to-day activities. Those who have been selected will be named a creative collaborator, or they will join the gallery's newly created 200 Creators Network. This is where the, well, not so great part comes in. Applicants are asked to have a strong existing social media presence, with either a minimum of 50,000 subscribers on YouTube, 50,000 followers on TikTok with 1 million likes on their account, or 100,000 followers on Instagram. The gallery said it wants to, quote, "collaborate with creators whose communities are interested in any number of topics, niches, and themes, and these don't need to be based around art." Okay, but if you're going to be responding to the collection, exhibitions, building, and day-to-day activities, wouldn't you need to have someone who has some sort of knowledge on art or art-adjacent topics? Or at least an interest in it? Anyway, this episode will be going into this in three parts. First, what I think is very cool about this. Second, what the bad elements of this could be, and where the National Gallery may have taken a misstep. And third, my personal conclusion that I've drawn from all of this. To be fair, my personal opinions are weaved throughout the entire episode, but, you know, just for the sake of structure. I do want to add a little disclaimer here and say that I absolutely love and respect the work that the National Gallery does. I've had classes there within my first 2 years at university, and it is a very special place for any visitor who walks through those rooms. With this episode, I don't want to disrespect any professionals at the museum. However, I am voicing my concerns over this initiative in a way that I hope may prove to be constructive. Okay, well, let's not waste any more time and dive right in. This project seems to be aimed at a younger generation, and I think that it's really cool in that regard. Funding has been cut in the arts and cultural sector, and even more drastically in arts education in the UK. So trying to reach younger audiences through working with people they may follow or admire online is a really great pursuit. I think looking at how we engage with art in the age of social media is a really big topic. And I actually wrote about this in my post-grad thesis when I was doing my master's. I spoke about it in the TEDx talk I did earlier this year, and I have also written a few articles on it. I've linked some of those in the show notes in case you want to have a peek, but basically the gist of it all comes down to this. In my opinion, which is informed by my research at the very least, one way to improve our society and increase our empathy even is to shift our consumption habits to include more art and culture. If we have some big players like the National Gallery supporting that new way of consumption, then I think that that's a pretty cool thing. However, there is a lot more to this. So now I'll delve into the issues of this entire situation. Firstly, look at the criteria. 100,000 followers on Instagram? 50,000 on YouTube or 50,000 followers with 1 million likes on TikTok? The art sector is already a tough one to break into, and being a content creator on top of that is really time consuming. Having the small following I do has already been a lot of work to build and maintain. And I know plenty of amazing content creators in the arts who have a range of 1,000 to 20,000 followers, all creating incredibly informative, high-quality content that is interesting for our sector. But there are literally only a handful who are content creators in the arts that are UK-based with that level of followers that the National Gallery is requesting. Realistically, with that criteria, the National Gallery doesn't need to put out an open call because they can actually just find the influencers themselves pretty easily. They of course say that these applicants don't have to come from an arts background, but okay, so imagine that, say, a fashion influencer or something like that would be interested in applying to this program at the National Gallery, where they have to pull together a proposal that relates to the museum's program and collections for a total of £4,000? Because honestly, that actually ends up sounding like they want to get influencer marketing and partnerships with people who have hundreds of thousands of followers for a fee that is probably much lower than industry standard for something that extensive with that level of engagement. As one person in my Instagram DM said after I posted this, it seems like they want influencer marketing, quote unquote, on the cheap. Even if they would have influencers from various corners of social media, giving this opportunity to people with no background in the arts, well, okay, it can be cool because different perspectives on culture are super valuable, and I really appreciate that. However, there are too many people who, excuse my language, but bust their ass in the sector to be recognized and would give anything to be a part of the National Gallery's program. I think they would be better off putting their money and efforts in that direction because, frankly, I believe that the quality of output would be much higher. I, as someone who would definitely consume the content that would be produced from this project, personally don't follow many influencers that aren't in the arts. And I do this intentionally for a multitude of reasons that I won't go into too deeply today, but let's just say that it also has a lot to do with an overload of visual stimulation and also the negative effect social media can have on self-image and self-worth. The people that I do choose to follow generally do not have over 100,000 followers. I follow amazing arts content creators who, due to the niche focus of their accounts, i.e. the arts and cultural sector, don't typically amass the mainstream level of followers that content creators in other areas have the potential to do. And don't get me started on the fact that if the National Gallery finds content creators who are in the arts or at least art adjacent somehow, who are willing to go through the application process, put together a proposal, and be paid the amount that they're offering, with 100,000 followers or more, they will most likely also be banking on what has been referred to as pretty privilege in mainstream media. But I think this is part of a larger conversation that I should not only do deeper research on, but also take more time to flesh out than what I'm able to do on this occasion in this episode. On that note, though, thinking of privilege within the arts, it's reminiscent of that recent Evening Standard article on the new young London artists. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, in July, an article sent a ripple through the London art scene because the people featured in it were all socialites, children of art world tycoons, or property billionaires. Some of which, yes, do some amazing work in the sector, and I don't want to discount that at all. But the article seemed like it was written at a round table at Chiltern Firehouse, to say the least. It actually left me with a really negative feeling, to be honest, as it hit a bit of a personal chord, as I'm sure it did with many of you listeners. I worked two jobs when I moved to London while I was in my first year at uni. I did two internships while continuing one of those two jobs during my first summer as a student. When I finished university, I had more internships and jobs under my belt than some people 5 years my senior. If I could have had the financial support to start a business at that point, hey, maybe I would have my own gallery too. But I had to pay my rent. And I'm perfectly happy with that. I am just making a point about being aware of what we celebrate and who we give space to in the media. And with my podcast, this is what I'm trying to demystify. Let's talk about how we got to where we are so that we can clear up what is possible and how we can better support one another and make this a more equal playing field. It is with this same air of exclusion and the notion of a quote-unquote top few percent of people getting the opportunities and spotlight in the sector that this open call at the National Gallery has been constructed. So, to bring this episode to a close, my own personal conclusion on it. As of recently, I noticed that they actually extended their deadline for applications, which probably means that they didn't get enough applications to begin with. But that's just me speculating. I don't know if I'm missing a piece to the puzzle as to why the team at the National Gallery thought the good outweighed the bad with this approach, or how they came to define the application criteria. But to me, this is really disappointing. If someone has a different opinion to mine, I would absolutely love to hear it because I, for one, can't see much of the positives of this proposal, but there are professionals who conceptualized it and put it out there, so I do feel like maybe I'm missing a piece of crucial info. One of my friends, who is also an amazing art content creator with, surprise, surprise, under 100,000 followers, actually told me that they applied anyway and stated why they would be a good fit. And I'm intentionally not mentioning who they are right now because that might not be their preference. Well, you know what? I will do the same because honestly, the way the sector is at the moment, we need to speak up about these things, ask for what we want, and be a part of that positive change that can broaden the opportunities for ourselves and for others for our careers. And that is it for today on All About Art. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave me a rating or a review as it helps more people discover the show. Also, feel free to share with your friends, or if you share on social media, tag me and get in touch. Thank you so much for listening.